Amen. Another beautiful song. Amen. Just remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible, Ephesians chapter number 5. I said that I'm going to finish off the husbands tonight. Amen. Meaning that I'm going to finish up with them, would not be done. Matter of fact, in the messages to the husbands, I believe there's messages to the wives. And in the messages to the wives, I believe we'll find messages to the husbands as well. And trust that we'll see that in the Scripture as we look into it together. Amen. But I've been preaching on, I started off with the duties of both alike. And then now talking about the special duty of the husband. I preached four, I'd have to look back, but I think it was maybe one introductory message, then three on the special duties of the husband. I believe maybe that's right. And then now four messages on the, one introduction, three on the duties of both alike. Now four, I believe, on the duties, special duties of the husband. And this one, each one, last few particularly, have been short. I said we take it in small pieces so we can chew on it and, They're deep. Though they're simple, there's deep things in there for us to study in the Scripture. But tonight I'm going to be a little bit longer because I'm going to try to cover more ground, and I don't feel like I can break it up. I feel like I need to get it all in here, and so I'll say some more about that as we go along and look at it together. We're reading one verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you please lead us in prayer? Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, we've been looking at this special duty of the husband, and that is to love his wife. That's what he said. Let every one of you in particular. Before that, he used the word, nevertheless. That means it doesn't matter what the case is. Right. It doesn't matter what your argument is. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Amen. And so the particular duty of the husband is love. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I believe that's what she needs most. That's what she craves most. And that is his largest duty. Everything else is wrapped up in that. I've said everything flows from his love. Without love, everything the husband does for his wife seems like a chore and seems hard, both to him and her. But if it's all covered in love, if it all comes with love, then everything that he does, all the duties that he performs seem light and seem easy and is a joy. I do believe that that is true. And so I mentioned that there's three areas we look at in the husband's love. We talk about the dimensions of it, the description of it, and the demonstration of it. Last week we started dealing with what we call the demonstration of the godly husband's love, how that he can demonstrate, how he can show his love for her. And we had finished up those other two points and began looking at this third one. I broke the third one down into two parts. I said there's two ways. First of all, I do it A and B. A, he shows it with his words. B, he shows it with his deeds. And so last week I preached on his words, some things that the husband can say in order to demonstrate his love. But you've heard this before. Talk is cheap. Unless it's a lawyer doing it. They charge you by the word. But talk is cheap. The words, they do mean something, and they should mean something, and therefore we should use those words. But if they're only that deep, in other words, words got to be followed up by some action is the idea. And so it's with his deeds. I mentioned four ways. I covered four ways that a man uses his words to demonstrate his love for his wife. I said, first of all, he teaches her with his words. Number two, he reproves her with his words. Number three, he encourages her with his words. And number four, he comforts her with his words. Now tonight I want to begin dealing with how that he shows his love for his wife by his deeds. In other words, some things, not just that the husband can say, but some things that the husband can do in order to demonstrate his love for his wife. Now I thought this last week about a way to alliterate that. He not only does it with his declarations, he proves it with his deeds. It's not just what he declares, what he says, the statements that he makes, but it's actually in the deeds that he works. And so some things that he does to demonstrate his love for her. I covered four under the words. I'm going to cover six tonight under the deeds. That's one reason why it's going to take a little bit longer, and I don't feel like I could break these six up. I need to apply them together. So he shows his love by his deeds. Number one, he provides for her. He proves his love for her in that he provides for her. Amen. I do believe that is one of the main duties of the husband, and that is that he provides. He is a provider. That's the man's job. He is the one that provides for her. Turn with me. We've got several verses we'll look, but Exodus chapter number 21 is one that not necessarily used a lot in this, and then we'll get to some that are. But Exodus chapter number 21, and we have, he's talking about espousals, and they're dealing with the law that has been handed down of espousals and things such as that, and he's laying down the law of it, all right? And he's talking about a man that has betrothed a wife, and starts off with verse number 7. He's giving those things, and we'll begin with verse number 10 in our reading. He says, if he take him another wife. This is a man that's been betrothed to. And by the way, let me back up and say this before I get into it here, because our way of thinking of a marriage situation is not the way it was in the Eastern countries, even still today, or the way it was especially in the Old Testament days. A marriage system today is when a young man asks a young lady, or if he never gets around to it, the young lady insinuates to the young man. No, I'm kidding. It's when the young man asks the young lady, will you marry me? That's not how marriages were compacted in the old days. The mother and father would make a bargain. They'd make a deal. They would sit down. They would plan it out. And it was planned, a second party, you might say, planned it out. I touched on it this morning with Isaac and Rebekah and that situation there. Isaac didn't go propose to Rebekah. Abraham sent his servant and said, go find him a wife. Pick him out one. Amen. And bring him back. So here he's dealing with a betrothal that a couple, a boy and a girl have been betrothed together, but something's happened. She doesn't please him. And so he marries somebody else. All right. Look at, we're reading verse number 20, or verse number 10 of chapter 21, verse number 10. And if he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall not be diminished. Amen. Now, you say, why are you using this verse, preacher? You know we don't believe in multiple marriages. Amen. We don't practice polygamy. Amen. Or bigamy. We don't practice multiple, but two or more. We don't practice multiple marriages. But what he's saying here is that even if she didn't please him and he marries another woman, he's still responsible to take care of her. All her payment, all her duties, all those things are still applied to her. Amen. Amen. And so he's showing us here that God takes seriously the devotion of a husband to his wife. God takes seriously the provision that she is to have. And by the way, young men, let me just plug it here while I'm here. You ought to think about it and you ought to take it serious. And when you get married, you're doing more than just getting joy and pleasure and a help meet for you. You're getting responsibility now. You've got another mouth to feed and somebody else to care for. Amen. It is not all about you. Amen. Amen. And so he is still to take care of her and to supply for her needs. Now, when I talk about those things, like he teaches her, I said that's not to say that she's an ignoramus. Let me say here, this is not to say that the wife is a leech on her husband. Not by any means. It's not to say that she's siphoning off his finances. I believe she ought to help if she's able to help. Amen. I'm not talking about she ought to climb light poles and she ought to put on breeches and brogans and get out there and turn signs and drive a dump truck and run the state. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is she can be helpful in the home with the finances in a lot of ways if she will. Amen. And so you're getting a bargain. Amen. In that. And so she's helping, but the responsibility of the finances falls on him. Amen. It falls on the man. And matter of fact, you know where Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I believe that some of that honor that the husband gives to the wife, being a weaker vessel, is that he does not lay all the financial responsibility on her. He knows where, as we say, the buck stops here. Amen. He knows where that the responsibility lies, and it is the husband's job to provide for his wife. You know, I won't make you turn there because you know it well, but 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says this, but if any provide not for his own, his own. If any, it doesn't say man, but it uses a pronoun that we know he's talking to the men. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Amen. So he's saying husbands ought to work and provide. Amen. And that, by the way, is one way he can show his love for his wife. Amen. Amen. I believe he should make provision for her not only while she's living, or while he's living, I should say, but he should make provision for her after he's gone. He ought to make some plans and some provision that his wife would be taken care of. If he can, he ought to lay up some things that might be a help to her even after he's gone. Amen. And let me say that as well, in this life, while they're living together, working together, and things are going on in the home, I believe it's good for the husband to allow her to have some money of her own, we'll say. Some money that she can use at her discretion, in order that she might be a blessing to others and that she might show the children even how to manage some of that and tend with some of that. It's good for her to have some on her own. Amen. Some of you ladies ought to be shouting me down. Amen. I didn't say how much you ought to have, but amen. Amen. Could do like Brother Williamson. Brother Williamson, when he would sell that metal, and Mrs. Williamson would help him, and he would, you know, grab up scrap metal, take it and sell it. And they'd get a check, and whatever was the change on the end, that was hers. He got the bills, and she got the change on the end. He said, we're splitting it that way. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just simply saying that the man's, I believe one of his requirements is to provide for her. And he shows his love for her. And so let me just plug this. Ladies, when your husband gets up and goes to work, you ought to thank God for it. He's showing love for you. Amen. Number two, he protects her. Amen. Not only does he demonstrate his love in his actions by providing for her, but he demonstrates his love in his actions by protecting her. Amen. The godly husband, I believe, is to protect his wife physically from dangers, from temptations, from harm that might come to the physical body or to the home. As much as his strength will allow, he ought to be the protector. Amen. If something those bump in the night, as they say. He's the one, I touched on it the other day, that he's the one that ought to get up and check on it. Amen. I said that, and I didn't carry it through, but you know how you get these thoughts. And I said, here's how it always is. She hears something, she wakes him up. Because he's snoring so loud, he never heard it. But she heard something, and she wakes him up, and he don't say, Margaret, go check and see what that is. And this was my thought. And bring me a ham sandwich back when you come back by the refrigerator. Amen. That's not how it works. No. Something goes bump in the night, he's supposed to, as they say, put on the big boy britches. He's supposed to get up, even if he is frightened himself. Amen. Amen. He is to go check on it. He's to go protect. His job is to protect his wife physically as much as possible. But I'll say this, he's also to protect her emotionally as much as possible. He's to protect her from reproach. He's to protect her from contempt. Amen. He's to protect her as much as possible from hurt feelings. Amen. Giving her his sympathy in her fears and her troubles. I wrote it this way in my notes. His arm should be the one she should trust for protection. And his shoulder is the one on which she should weep. Amen. I say that again. His arm is the one she should protect. She should trust for protection. And his shoulder is the one on which she should weep. Now the husband may not have the same fears. The husband may not be burdened, and though might not have the sympathy or the tenderness that might be needed there. He doesn't share that, but he should do his best to insinuate himself in there and say that I'm going to protect you as much as possible. Amen. She's going to help him bear his burdens. Therefore, he ought to help her bear hers. Amen. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, and we'll see it real well in the Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 talks about two being better than one. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 9. I'm saying they ought to cooperate together, but he needs to take the initiative. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Look at verse 12 particularly. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. He protects her. They're two together. They help each other. But he, and you notice the pronouns even in the text we're reading here. It's he, him, over and over and over again. Amen. So, I've said two things that a man can do. Actions, doings that can show by your deeds your love for your wife, protecting her, providing for her. And these are not all alliterated. Number three, he shows her by being a good example to her. He's a good example. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, what do you mean here? We believe wives are to follow their husband, right? Wives are to follow their husband. Wives generally tend to follow their husband on earth. And many of them follow him either to heaven or to hell. So he ought to be leading her in the right direction when it comes to immortal things as well. Amen. Amen. I think about this, and I could give a lot of different examples, but I say this. His example, the example the husband sets for the wife, is greater influence towards her, it seems to me, than most anything else. And here's, I used to think it was bogus, but here's what I've found. I don't know how many times I've knocked on doors or sat in people's living room and talked to them, invite them to church, maybe my wife and I together, or maybe me and somebody else, and we've been inviting somebody to church, and if the wife's there, here's what she'll say a lot of the time. She'll say, I'll go if he will. And I used to think, well, you know, she's just making up an excuse. I will if he will. No, I found it to be true that a lot of times she would go. Amen. A lot of times she would go if he would go. And so I want to say to us husbands that one of the ways we can show our wife our love is by being a good example to her. Amen. Being a leader in the things of God towards her. Amen. And so if the husband sees little benefit in going to the house of God, she's going to probably see little benefit in it. But if he sees that it's necessary, amen. Amen. And that might mean that instead of him laying back and resting on Sunday, it might mean he gets up before her and helps get things going. It might mean that he is a blessing in that way. Amen. In Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse number 17, Solomon calls the husband, here's the phrase he uses, the guide of her youth. Proverbs 2:17, Solomon said the husband is the guide of her youth. Therefore, the husband ought to endeavor to lead the way. The husband ought to endeavor to set the pace in piety, in godliness, in holiness, in seriousness, in charity, in worship, in prayer, in church attendance. On and on and on, the husband ought to set the priority and set the pace for his wife and for his family. In other words, she can learn by his example. He shows his love to her by being a good example to her. Amen. You know this scripture, Romans 14:7? For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. You're influencing somebody, and you may be influencing them more than you know. Amen. Amen. So I say this, we ought to take it into consideration that you are impacting her life. Amen. She, in turn, is impacting others, especially the children when they come along. Amen. Wives have greater influence over children, especially when they're young, than the father does. But where does the wife get her influence? She gets it from him. And so I'm saying you're not only helping her by you being a good example to her, but you're helping your own offspring by you being a good example to her. Amen. And so I believe we ought to seek to live a sober, sensible, godly life. Amen. Amen. I've got a verse of scripture for that. And again, you don't have to turn. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 12, here's what it says. He says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. Paul said, here's how we lived. We lived simply and in godly sincerity. We wasn't fakes, we wasn't put-ons, we wasn't extravagant. We was just a good example to you. Amen. God help dads to be that. God help husbands to be that. Amen. You can show love to your wife by being a good example to her. Amen. If you don't want her cursing, don't curse. Amen. If you don't want her getting tattoos, don't get one yourself. If you don't want her smoking, don't get one yourself. Don't be smoking. Amen. I could go on down the line. There's 1,000 things I could say. That the husband can set the pace. The husband can be a good example. If you want her to get up and go to church on Sunday morning, get up and go with her. Amen. Be a good example. Amen. He shows his love in his deeds, providing. He shows his love in his deeds, protecting. He shows his love in his deeds by being a good example. Number 4, he shows his words in his deeds. And this, you're going to have to take a deep breath. He grants her reasonable requests. In other words, he'll listen to her every now and then. Amen. Nobody's passed out yet, have they? He grants her, and I've got Bible for it. He grants her reasonable requests. I've got a number of things I could go to. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 15 through 31, Bathsheba goes to David and asks for the kingdom for Solomon. You know what David did? He granted her the request. Amen. She asked and he granted it to her. In Genesis chapter number 27 and verse number 46, and then again in Genesis 28 verse number 1 and 2, Isaac grants Rebekah's request to allow Jacob to leave Canaan and go back into Padan Aram to find him a wife. Amen. Now, we know that she makes that request. She's not only wanting him to find a wife, but she's wanting him to save his life because Esau's going to kill him if he gets a chance. Amen. Here's a way you can remember that. Esau said the next time he saw Jacob, he was a dead man. So Rebekah said, get him out of here. But she requested it to Isaac. She didn't assume authority. She didn't line it all up. She went and asked Isaac, can you send him down these? She said, these daughters of Heth about to worry me to death. And Esau's done married two or three of them. And if Jacob marries one of them, I'll just pull all my hair out. She said, what's the use of me living? That's what she said. And she asked Jacob, you know what Jacob did? He listened to her. And by the way, it was good advice. Jacob didn't need to marry one of them daughters of Heth. Amen. He needed one of his own people like God had said that they ought to do. Amen. And so I'll just say this. In many cases, the husband ought to listen to his wife and consider what she has to say. Perhaps it's a reasonable request. You say, preacher, I need a little bit more Bible for that. All right, here's another one. Our heavenly husband listens to our requests as his bride. That's enough. He listens to our requests. He don't just write them all off, says, that's stupid. Here you are again. No, he listens to our requests. And every now and then, he grants us those reasonable requests. He knows what's best. Thank God he does. Amen. And so we can see that. Look in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Here's another case. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. You know what's talking about? Elkanah and Hannah and all that. And I used him. Elkanah is a good illustration how that he comforted Hannah in her sorrow. And he wooed her back to the table. We dealt with that. But I want to notice another point here. Elkanah and Hannah, in verse number 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. That's normal. By the way, he's doing the leading. He's going up there. Look at verse 22. But Hannah went not up. Not in rebellion. Not rejecting. But look at what it says. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She said, I'm not going up till he's weaned, and then I'm going to take him and give him to the Lord forever. Look at verse number 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. He said, I'm going to allow you to have your way in this. I'm going to grant you your reasonable petition. Amen. Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. There's a reminder. You made a vow. Amen. You made a vow. So the Lord establish his word. Amen. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter number 21. Not only did Elkanah listen to his wife when she had something good to say, but also Abraham did Sarah. Now you could say, well, Abraham messed up by listening to Sarah. There was a time he did. So that lets us know it's not every time. By the way, anybody can have a good idea at times or a bad idea at times. But a wise man will listen and will discern between the two. Amen. Genesis 21, verse number 9. See if I've got that right. Verse number 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, look at what God said now. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Listen to this now, and you'll have to swallow. Hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know what God said? God said, Sarah's right about this, Abraham. Sarah's right about it. Amen. God said to Abraham, this is one time you ought to listen to her. Amen. And so I say, husbands can show his love for his wife by granting her reasonable request. Amen. Here's a note probably especially needs to go to young men. It's not a sign of weakness that you allow her to have an opinion. It's not a sign of weakness that you listen to her and even yield to her when she's right. Amen. Actually, as we can see in the text, Abraham was commanded of God. Abraham thought on it, and it was grievous. Abraham didn't want to do it. God said to Abraham, Sarah's right. You need to listen to her. Amen. And I believe we can see it in the Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. That's not talking about the woman usurping authority over her husband. It's not saying let her have the reins and run everything. And I know we got to preach that in this generation particularly because men are apt to do that. It seems like men feel so beat down, so oppressed or whatever, or maybe just laziness that he's just going to let her run it all. No, that's not God's plan, but she's got a brain too. Are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. Well, it's not her usurping authority over her husband. Rather, it's him seeing that she has seen a better path and he's willing to walk that path with her. Amen. She's got a good idea right there. Number five. Now you know why I didn't break it off right here. If I'd have stopped right there, we'd all went home mad. No, I'm kidding. Number five. He proves his love for her. He shows his love in his deeds by trusting her in the domestic affairs. In other words, he does not micromanage everything she does. Amen. Amen. He allows her to have reign, so to speak, in the home. That is her dynasty. That is her palace. Amen. That is her realm, and he allows her to have that. You say, preacher, is there a verse of Scripture? Proverbs 31, verse number 11. Here's what it says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Now, I believe that's the connotation talk about. He trusts her not to be running around on him. Amen. And he ought to be able to trust her in that. If he can't trust her in that, he can't trust her with money. Amen. He can't trust her with the children. Amen. But he ought to be able to trust her that she's not running around on him. He ought to be able to trust her that she's taking care of the things of the house. He can leave her in charge of the home. Amen. My wife, I don't know if she does not ask me how to arrange the furniture in the house. Sometimes she'll say it facetiously. She'll say, do you think we ought to rearrange the living room furniture? And she knows, what's my answer? My answer is always the same. No. Don't move a thing. I like it like it is. Amen. I don't like change. Different questions that'll come around. But here's my thing. I don't say, let's set the couch here and let's put this picture here and let's put these flowers here. No, I leave that to her. That's her realm. Amen. And I can trust her with it. Amen. And I believe that's one good thing a husband can do, to trust her in those domestic things. Amen. She ought to have the sensibility to know that the floor's got to be swept and the dust has got to be gotten up. I mean, it's a constant thing. That the beds have got to be made and that there's, you know, those are, but he can trust her with that and he should. He shouldn't have to stand over her or he shouldn't feel like he's got to stand over her and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing all the time? Amen. I knew a young man back in North Carolina that would come home from work and he'd ask his wife, how many chapters are you reading your Bible today? And if he didn't feel like she'd read enough, he'd make her sit down and read them before she could eat supper. He'd go ahead and eat his. One time he backed up with a load of firewood and he said, I'm going to go ahead and eat and I want you to unload all that firewood while I'm eating. And he was serious. Amen. The girl's dad got upset, went up there to straighten him out. And her mama called our house and said, preacher, you're going to have to say something to him. I won't call names. You have to say something to him. He's going to wear that boy out. And I said, put him on the phone. And I said, if you don't whoop him like he ought to have been whooped when he was a boy, he'll never learn. Amen. That's what I said. Amen. And his wife said, no, whoa, 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 preacher. Don't, no, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Let him do without a little bit of supper. Let him deal with some firewood. That's right. Amen. That's being a dictator. That's not being a loving husband. Amen. But he ought to be able to trust her that she knows when the floors need sweeping. She knows things need to be done. Amen. She's going to take care of those things. And so he ought to leave that. By the way, he's got other things to be concerned about. Amen. And so the husband ought to allow her to deal with those important things. The groceries, maybe. The meal preparation, all that kind of stuff. Don't micromanage. Allow her to have some leeway in that. Amen. Allow her. That's her realm. Amen. Now, she may occasionally consult him. And by the way, let me back up and say this. It'd be wise for her to consult him so that when things go wrong, as they sometimes do, he can shoulder the blame because he's the one responsible. Amen. And he ought to be willing to do that. He ought to be willing to be her protector. Amen. When things do go wrong, as they sometimes do. But I'll say, generally, he ought to allow her to have the sphere of the home. His sphere is outside the home. Her sphere is within the home. Amen. Somebody said it this way, and I've tried to find where this quote came from. And I couldn't find it. But this is a quote. The husband should go out and get the honey, and the wife should work it in the hive. Amen. Amen. It's the queen bee in the home, and the worker bee, drone bees. Amen. Go out and bring in. Amen. And so that's good. The home ought to be her haven. And she ought to be capable of being trusted to deal with those things in the home. Amen. Amen. I heard one time this fellow had been off to work and he came back home and he asked his wife, he said, what have you done? I can't tell a thing you've done today. She said, I've been busy all day. He said, what have you done? She said, I refilled the salt shaker. He said, is that all? She said, have you ever tried to put all them grains of salt down in them little holes? He ought to be able to trust her. Amen. To do what needs to be done rather than having a nitpick about everything. Amen and amen. All right, well, I believe this is one area where the wife can be the help meet for the husband. Amen. That he manages those things outside the home and allows her to manage those inside the home and she's helping him. Amen. And so he ought to allow her to have that. She knows his needs. She can help him. He needs an orderly home. She can help him with that. He can help her by allowing her a great deal of liberty inside the home. Amen. Here's another verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. You don't have to turn because you know it. He says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children. Listen to this. Underline it. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Amen. The wife's responsibilities in the home, the husband can show his love for her by allowing her some liberty in those things. Amen. And then number six, this is the last one. He exercises authority toward her. I'm not saying authority over her, that we understand that, but it's authority toward her. He shows his love for her by exercising authority toward her. We know from experience that if parents do not have authority over the children, if they don't exercise authority, if they don't show some authority towards their children will grow up believing mom and daddy do not love them. Give them everything they want, and they'll grow up believing you don't love them. And that's true. Because the Bible says, if you spare the rod, it's because you don't love that child. He uses the word, you hate the child. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that husbands ought to whip their wives or they ought to break bottles over their head or anything like that. Amen. Not, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that they have a little bit of authority, and they ought to assume that role of authority. In other words, not push it all on her. I go back to that again. She's got her around, but don't put it all on her. You assume some authority in your role. Amen. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. God invested the first husband there ever was with authority. You might say, well, Adam proved he didn't deserve it. Yeah, but God still gave it to him. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 22 and 23. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Now it appears, and I'm going to read some more in a minute, but it appears to me that God brought Eve to Adam. He brought her to him, showing that she's to be under his authority. She's to be under his protection. He's saying, I'm giving you this woman, you're to watch over her, and you're to protect her. We say in the marriage ceremony, who gives this woman to be married to this man? What's Dad doing? Dad's saying, my wife and I, her mother and I, are agreeing that this man is going to protect her. This man is going to be an authority over her. We've been her authority as her parents up to this point. And so we're going to give this woman to be married to this man. She's going to have be under his authority. All right, look at chapter 3, verse 16. Genesis 3, 16. This is after the fall now. Unto the woman, God's talking to the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's a strong word, the word rule. R-U-L-E. That's not talking about being a dictator, but it does mean to reign. It's Strong's number 4910. The Hebrew word means to have dominion over. The Hebrew word means to reign. He's the king of the house. Amen. She's the queen of the home, but he's the king of the house. Amen. By the way, as God pronounced this to Eve, that was not just a curse laid on Eve because she had done wrong. In reality, it was grace laid on Eve to say, from now on, let him make the decisions because he's the accountable one. Right. Amen. He's the authority, but he's also the responsible party. Amen. And so God was showing mercy and protecting grace to Eve. Amen. Don't go out listening to serpents anymore. Don't listen to everybody that you hear. Don't listen to all those voices that are out there in the world. You stay up under your husband where it's safe and you'll be protected. That's what he's saying. Amen. In that case. Now back to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5, where we took our original text. He's going to deal with a wife and say something to her here. You say, preacher, I thought you was preaching to the husbands. I am. We need husbands to show their love by assuming that responsible role of authority. It's not love just to let her make all the decisions. It's not love just to leave it all up to her and you just be a quiet participant, just a follower. No, you're to be the leader. And that's where the love comes in. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. You can underline that. I didn't make that up. Amen. Male chauvinist association that I probably belong to did not make that up. Amen. This, what do they call it? Male dominant hierarchy that they talk about did not make that up. God said it. God said it. That's not saying that the man's better than her. No. It's not saying that he's better than her at all. But it's saying that's the way God made it. He's to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Don't you think that's good? Thank God that is good. I'm glad Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In other words, the husband is to show his love by exercising that authority that God gave him towards her. Amen. By being that leader that he's supposed to be. Amen. I can show you other scriptures. I've got some written down. I'll not have you turn. But the rule of man over the woman is true to natural man as well as to spiritual men, men of Scripture. First of all, in Esther chapter number 1, verse 22, those naturally minded Persians came up with a plan and a decree and a law. And here's what they said. For he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language that, underline, every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. That's natural-minded men said, the husband ought to be the head of his house. Amen. I don't rule yours. Amen. You don't rule your neighbors. But we at least ought to take authority in our own house. That's what he's saying. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. God said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. So it's not just natural minded man says the head, the husband is supposed to be the head. But spiritual men, scriptural men, say that the husband is supposed to be the head of the house. Now, two things I'm going to say about that authority and I'm going to get ready to close. I'm going to wind her down. The husband ought to use that authority in two ways. First of all, he ought to use that authority wisely. Wisely. And secondly, he ought to use that authority mildly. Amen. Amen. He ought to use that authority wisely, and he ought to use that authority mildly. Amen. In other words, the man in his authority ought to be truly spiritual. That's using it wisely. Study your Bible, learn of God, pray, walk with God. That's how to use your authority wisely. Amen. Well, honey, I'll tell you what, I've come up with this idea. I think what we're going to quit tithing. That's not wise. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just start missing church. And we're just going to, you know, do our own thing. That's not wise. You know how to get wise? Get in your Bible. Get spiritual. Pray about these things. Ask the Lord about it. Amen. That's using your authority wisely. Amen. You ought to use it seriously. You ought to take serious the things of the home. Amen. And I'll say this, and I know it goes against the grain today, but you ought to be manly. Amen. You ought to be manly. Amen. It'll be hard for her to reverence him if he doesn't reverence God. Amen. If he doesn't live a life that is reverence worthy, I guess you say. He doesn't live respectfully. He lives what's just, he lives in a way that's not godly, not holy, not orderly himself, then she's going to have a hard time showing respect for that. Amen. And so he ought to use that authority wisely. If the husband is foolish, if the husband is childish, she'll lose respect for him. He ought to use that authority wisely. Amen. Amen. So God says, use your authority wisely. Number two, use your authority mildly. We ought to remember that although He is the head, we're one body in the Lord. Amen. Our souls, if I could say it that way, are knit together in this holy matrimony. Amen. So if you hurt her, you're in effect hurting yourself. Amen. Amen. And so we need to be careful that we see each other in that order. God set up the order, and in a sense there's an order of superiority, but really, in reality, we're equal. It's just one has to be the leader. Amen. Just, that's the way it is. Amen. Melissa and I, we used to do it more than we do now. We'd be walking somewhere, be holding hands, and if we walked towards a light pole, if I've got her in my left hand, I'd walk towards that light pole towards my left hand. So that light pole, she's going to have to either move around with me that way, or she's going to have to turn loose on me to go by that light pole. We used to do things like that just for fun. But the point of that was this: we're walking together, and in that I'm still leading because I'm moving the direction that we're going, but I'm remembering we're together in this thing. Amen. And so husbands, using their authority wisely and using their authority mildly, remember we're in this thing together. We are knit together in our marriage. Amen. So she's your companion. You're not a king ruling over subjects. No. She's your companion. Amen. Like the head needs the body, and the body needs the head. Amen. And that's why I believe that he put it that way. Somebody said it this way, you know what's right? Eve was not taken from Adam's head to be his leader. Neither was she taken from his foot to be trampled upon. But she was taken from his side, close to his heart, to be treated tenderly. Amen. Amen. I believe the husband, in exercising his authority, he ought to be friendly. His language ought to be sweet. Amen. His commandments ought to be sparing, and they ought to be respectful. When he has to reprove, he ought to do it as gentle as possible. Amen. Amen. Don't think about keeping your wife under your thumb, or you've got it all wrong, if that's what you're thinking about. Amen. Amen. The wife can be won over by the husband's love, wisdom, and holiness of character. And then she can be led by his authority. Amen. I realize that this whole issue of authority in the home, 1 Corinthians 11:3 that I read to you there a minute ago, it's one of the critical issues of our day. People, they don't like it. But husbands need to learn to lead properly. Amen. Amen. They need to learn to lead properly. How are you going to learn that? You have to learn to follow properly. Because as sure as the head of the woman is the husband, the Bible also says in the same sentence, and the head of every man is Christ. Amen. If you're going to lead her properly, you're going to have to learn to follow him properly. Amen. I believe that's exactly right. We can see it very well. Amen. And so the wife also, she'll never guide the house right if she doesn't follow her husband right. She won't train the children right if she's not following her husband right. If she's not following God's commands, following God's leadership in the Scriptures to obey her husband, she's not going to lead the children in the right direction. Amen. One last thing, or next to last, nearly last. The husband, God didn't pick the husband to be the leader because he's always right. Because he's not always right. Amen. He's the leader because God chose it that way. Amen. The husband, I believe this is probably right in every case. Every husband probably needs to guard against pride, especially new husbands.
Right.
Need to guard against pride. Praise God, I finally got somebody I can boss. Your pride is going before destruction.
Right.
Your haughty spirit is going before a fall. Amen. You're headed for trouble if that's your idea. The husband has got to guard against pride. That will cause him to fall. And then the wife has got to guard against rebellion. Because God always judges rebellion just like He always judges pride. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So there's two things we've got to fight against and we've got to battle against in our own mind. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So husbands, be the leader you ought to be. Ask God to help you be a humble and a holy leader. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I said this has been a longer sermon than what I've preached in the past on the home. But I felt like I needed to deal with these issues. Probably every one of us have some room to grow and some places we could ask God, should ask God for help in these things. There's a tendency to run to one extreme or the other. Either not to lead and let her just have it all, put all the responsibility on her, or the other ditch is by micromanaging everything and never listening to her and never thinking she's got anything, any input at all to put into it. Both of those are ditches on the side of the road. But the Bible tells us the proper way to go. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the truth of God's Word. And Lord, it's always right. It's always good, even when it goes against our grain. Even when it goes against the grain of our society. Even when it goes against what maybe we've always been taught all our life. Your Word is still true. Help us, dear God, to measure ourselves not by what we've heard, not by what others are doing, but by what You've said. Help us, dear God, to work on our homes. As men, help us take that responsibility and authority. As men, help us show our love for our wife by providing for her, protecting her, giving her her reasonable requests, by being the leader that You want us to be. Lord, help us in all these areas to show our love for our wife and You to receive glory. Because I believe a happy home and a godly home is a credit to the goodness and the grace of God. Because we're not living in a heaven. We're living in a fallen world. We're not living in a Garden of Eden, a perfect paradise. We're living in a fallen world. And our neighbors need to see what the gospel can do in a home. Help us, dear God, in these cases. And You get glory. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. And as we sing, if you need to come, altar's open.